Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, notify bell next to it if you're watching on YouTube. And of course, if you're on your iOS podcast app, it'd greatly benefit the show if you left us a rating or a review. That helps the ranking of Going In Raw in the audio format and it gets us more exposure, so that'd be greatly appreciated.
Fantastic.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. 50 amazing patrons are watching right now. This podcast as a live stream, which is accessible only to our $5 and up patrons.
Yes.
What is tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow's actually going to be for the $1 because of SmackDown recap after SmackDown pay-per-view.
Correct.
Yay. And we're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw. Oh, no. The thing isn't working. Oh, whoa, you're wearing it. Oh, look at that. That looks rad.
If you want to wear my dumb face on your chest, you can do that.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
At Pro Wrestling Tees.
Got my Christmas hat on today, Larson.
If you want to wear both of our dumb faces, you can do that, too. There's a shirt with both of our faces. There's a shirt with just your shocked face on it.
That's right. Yeah. It's all
other
good
designs
stuff.
With not our faces on them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all good stuff. Anyways, let's talk about, do we have any programming notes?
End of the year, top 10 type stuff.
I did dominate
this weekend and next.
Yeah.
A lot of count outs. Be prepared for that.
Yeah, a lot of lists.
Might as well say it. Friendo Award nomination special going up Christmas Day.
Correct.
Winners announced on January 6th.
Correct.
Anything I'm missing? Oh, we'll probably take Tuesday after Christmas off, Super Show on Wednesday, but I'll be available to do something remotely if you don't want me to come over here on Tuesday. It's up to you, whatever you want to do.
Well, the only thing about Tuesday is that, and my dad said he can take her, but like, Alabama school is closed on Tuesday.
All right. Well.
So I mean, my dad can probably take her, but so if you want to do something remotely, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, let me know.
No big deal.
I'm not sure if they're going to go all out for Christmas Raw.
Yeah,
or
I know.
Dial it back,
I know. So I don't know. I'm kind of more just apt to give us a day off.
That's fine.
Say screw it, whatever. Anyways, so that's all our programming notes. Let's talk about Raw. A lot of cool things happened on Raw.
There's a few neat things that happened, but as a whole, I didn't really find it to be that engrossing of a show.
Yeah, I know.
I spent a lot of time talking trash on Twitter to Ulysses, the commissioner of our fantasy football league.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Especially for the first hour of Raw. I found that more interesting than a lot of stuff that was happening.
I had like a bunch of fans. Like, my dad came over randomly, and then my sister came over, even though she's supposed to be in San Francisco right now. And then, like, kids were all over the place, and I was telling the patrons and you this off, before the live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the podcast started. Like, Alabama has this little, Christmas bear.
It sounds like you have a constant cacophony over here.
It's just stuff, man. It's like a freaking zoo over here, you know, but that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having, you know, it's having
that's
a family.
Your reality.
That's my reality. So, like, yeah, I actually missed the first segment with Braun and Kane. I had to go back and watch it this morning. No thanks to the PlayStation View, by the way. I loaded up the episode, and it just was on like an old Modern Family, and it would not. It was like at the end, I don't know, it was weird. It was annoying, and I wasn't happy with the views. First time it's really messed up on me, so I had to go to Hulu, and I watched the opening bit on Hulu.
Well, at least you have options.
Yeah, I got options. So anyways.
You should be thankful for that, Steve.
I am thankful for that.
Anyways, show kicked off with Kurt Angle. He came out to the ring, dropped a promo talking about what was next for Brock Lesnar at the Rumble. He was on the verge of making an announcement when he was interrupted by Braun.
Mm-hmm. Was Roman on the show last night?
No.
Where was Roman?
Unknown.
That's weird.
Braun then, of course, laid out his case why he should take on Lesnar at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes Kane. He counters Braun. Lays out his case.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes Brock and Paul Heyman.
Lays out his case. His case is essentially, I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's still not a good Kane that I do, but he said, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm the monster. You're not the monster. And Braun says, no, I monster.
You're not monster.
Yeah.
Out comes Brock and Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Heyman talks for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Angle says, okay, I'm gonna say this real quick. And it looked like he just cannot wait to get out of the ring because he knew
something. Oh, that was fun.
He
that
knew
was
something
cool.
About to go down.
That was a good little moment. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
He says, all right, this is my announcement. Brock versus Kane at Braun at the Rumble. See you later.
Yeah.
And so he gets out of the ring.
He bolted.
With super quickness. Brawl breaks out. Lesnar clotheslines Braun over the top rope. Out of the ring. Gives Kane an F5.
He deadlifted Kane.
Yeah.
Because at first he had a hard time getting him up, and then he had to do it a second time, and he deadlifted him up.
What do you think Brock can deadlift? How much weight?
What's a lot?
Like I think anything north of like 400 is considered a
lot.
Okay.
Double that.
800?
800.
Okay.
Probably. What do you think?
I don't know. Like, yeah, 400 is good.
Yeah, 800.
Okay.
Whatever is a lot is double that.
All right.
I mean, that's okay. I'm putting this way. Kayfabe.
Yeah.
Kayfabe, it has to be 800, right? Didn't he deadlift an ambulance?
Well, Brock, I don't think, ever deadlifted an
ambulance. Oh, Brock? Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Braun.
Oh, sorry. I might have misspoken.
Oh, Brock, 400 is a lot, 300.
Okay.
I'd say 300.
All right.
He's not Braun. Braun is 800.
Yeah.
Braun can deadlift all.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how the segment ended, just with Lesnar.
Well, it was fun.
He walked up the ramp with Heyman, turned around, and then Kane did his sit-up thing.
Yeah.
You know, a mere 60 seconds after eating an F5, and then Lesnar seemed kind of maybe mildly concerned about that.
Yeah.
And that was the extent of it.
Yeah, it was cool. No, I liked it. It was a monster segment. It was fine.
But I have a feeling this is one of the last times we're going to see Brock before the Rumble. He might make one, maybe two more appearances over the next, what, month?
Yeah.
5 weeks? I just don't feel like this feud's going to have a whole lot of heat. Braun and Kane are be carrying the weight in terms of building up this feud.
Yeah, no, I know.
Between now and the Rumble.
Yeah.
And since we all know Brock's going to win, it's going to seem kind of empty when he does.
Yeah, I know. It's not ideal.
Bummer also is that afterwards we're going to get a Kane Braun blow off match. So there's going to be more of this.
I mean, I'd much rather just see Finn Balor taking on Brock. To be honest with you, I'm not sure why they just didn't go that route. He literally had
Finn Brock do that, and then do Braun Kane do their blow off match.
I know.
Who do you think Braun's going to face at Mania? Assuming it's going to be Angle and Triple H. You got Brock and Roman.
I wouldn't assume at this point that it's even
decided.
I don't even know. I don't even know if it's penciled in at this point.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because I kind of want to say Triple H Braun. That'd be something else. They kind of set it up a little bit. Nearly to the extent that they set up Kurt Angle and Triple H.
No, I know, but they set it up a little bit at Survivor Series and the night after. But.
Braun better hope that they don't have WrestleMania in India, because Triple H will be going over there. They have no idea. People don't know how big I am in India. I'm up there with Undertaker and Cena. People, a massive Bollywood star told me he got suspended from school for saying, suck it. I'm huge in India. Braun needs to learn respect first. Anyway.
Next, the announced match was Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
Okay, does it feel like a lot of these matches that are set up are just being changed and decided on the fly with no official contract signing or decisions being made
yes,
by upper
especially
management?
This was literally like the ref just said, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You can do it. Kurt Angle didn't sign off on it.
No, this was ridiculous. So it's supposed to be Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe, which Steve is very happy about. And instead, Jason Jordan comes out and cuts a promo, says, no, I want Joe instead. Jason Jordan just seems to be this guy who just gets in the way all the time.
Yeah, it's his character.
Oh, it's so annoying. But I kind of appreciate it. They're sort of just dumping him in the upper mid card.
Oh, I know. And he's holding his own. Yeah, and he's putting on good matches
so
every
kind
week.
I'm kind of into it. The logic is so missing from them just being able to, okay, fine. I'm just going to fight you now and not Samoa Joe.
Oh, I know. So Jason Jordan comes out, says he wants Joe, starts talking about why he wants Joe. Joe comes out and says, oh, I really feel like the bell of the ball.
Mm-hmm,
two of the most popular guys here have eyes for me, essentially. And he said, here's my idea. Jason Jordan, Seth Rollins, you two fight it out. Winner can get me later on tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll, essentially beat up what's left of you.
Yeah.
Seth tells Joe to come down the ring to fight now. And then Jason Jordan
shoves Seth.
And that was enough for Seth to say, all right, Joe.
Fine.
I'll worry about you later. I'm taking on this Jason Jordan kid right now.
Yeah, like, why didn't Kurt just come out and say, okay, we'll just have a triple threat?
Exactly.
And what's up with everybody demanding multiple matches per Raw? Jason Jordan fights one guy, and then he says, Kurt, I want to fight. I want to have another match. No, 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 no. We've already seen your match.
Yeah.
There's too much talent for people to be having to be double dipping.
And yet it happened last night. So that gave us Seth versus Jason Jordan, another quality match from Jason Jordan.
Dude, Jason Jordan, they gave it a ton of time. He can't put on a bad match.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
What did they give this match, about 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you something really quick. So like I said, I had like a bunch of people in my house just invading my space.
Uh-huh.
And I heard the crowd chanting, this is, and I swear it sounded like it was boring. Was it awesome? Did they, at some point, did they chant, this is awesome?
I usually watch Raw with the audio down pretty low.
Okay.
Just so I can barely hear the commentary. Not because I don't want to hear commentary, just so I keep the volume
because
down.
Because it was a really good match, and I was like, are they chanting, this is boring? I can't, I think they're chanting, this is boring. But maybe it was, this is awesome. Hopefully it was, this is awesome. Because people chant that for anything these days, even a match on Raw. But because I thought I was like, man, this is a really good match.
It built up well.
Like, what do you people want? And they had some, I think the crowd had some good reactions later on in the show. Like, they gave Cedric Alexander a really good reaction when he won.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm waiting for chat to say what happened.
Okay. So, towards the end of the match, they're on the outside. Joe's sitting ringside for the match. Seth throws Jason Jordan into Joe.
Yeah, that was cool.
Joe runs towards Seth to respond, and he
super
kicks. Super kicks from Seth.
Yeah.
Seth, Jason Jordan back in the ring. Seth hits that cool knee, picks up the win.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, Joe gets in the ring, beats up Seth.
Yeah. Chris Kimmel says awesome, so I'm assuming they're chanting this is awesome. So that was just my dumb hearing, not understanding what was being said.
Well, I mean, if you...
Because I was even trying to read their lips.
If it's a little crazy around here, then...
I was like, why are you guys saying that? That's rude. Okay. Somebody said, I don't remember him saying it was awesome, but then he didn't pay attention. Why are you speaking then, Sergio? See, I'm joking. I love you.
Next, anyways, Kurt Angle was backstage with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Seth, again, saying that he wants a piece of Joe. Dean Ambrose says, yes, I too want piece of Joe.
Me want piece of Joe.
Jason Jordan comes in.
I want
again,
piece of Joe.
He wants piece of Joe.
Yeah.
So Kurt Angle says, all right, stop talking. Six-man tag match. Seth and Dean and Jason Jordan against Joe and Thebar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Match made.
Match made. You all get piece of
Joe
and Thebar.
Next, Bray Wyatt promo.
I did not pay attention to this.
I
watched Matt Hardy one. It was great.
Yeah, Bray kind of made fun of Matt Hardy's laugh.
Oh,
and his faces, like his you know, like the faces he makes.
Be kind of cool if Bray Wyatt just started keeping it super real.
Yeah,
like if he was like, "What is your deal? Why are you doing this?" Instead of talking elliptically and like all you know in rhymes.
This
and
was
stuff.
Kind of a combination of that.
No, really, was it?
He's like everybody, you know. He made fun of his laugh and kind of does a.
Is he transitioning to fantasy football lover Bray Wyatt?
No,
I want him to get to that point. If he's keeping it real, then he's kind of getting there.
He's making fun of like the faces Matt Hardy makes. He's doing.
Oh, yeah.
He's so doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. So a little sarcastic Bray Wyatt there.
A little
there,
bit,
huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
A little snark.
Ooh. Bray Wyatt's new gimmick is internet. Next up, we had Finn Balor versus... This what a freaking waste of time for Finn Balor.
He could be in a feud against Brock Lesnar. Instead, he's in a placeholder feud until The Miz comes back.
And he seems like
he's... Why is he smiling so much?
Yeah, he smiles a lot.
Is he just really tickled by this Finn Balor's not over thing?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of tickled with his current lot. He's like, you know what? Bo and Curtis are good guys. Whatever. The people love me.
I'm sure it's just a placeholder feud until The Miz comes back and you'll feud against The Miz. It's more substantial than The Miz Barrage.
It's such a waste. Anyways.
It was a handicap match. Balor against Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Balor goes, he's on the top rope fighting with Axel, pushes him off, goes to the top for a coup de grace. Bo Dallas knocks him off. Axel and Bo Dallas start beating him up. The ref
again,
calls for the bell.
Weird stuff happening. Ref calls for the bell. Even my dad was sitting there watching it. And then, yeah, ref calls for the bell, DQ. They keep on beating him up. And then Hideo Itami makes his main roster debut.
Cool.
That was really cool.
It
that
was cool.
Really
they gave him the Finn Balor rub.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was fantastic. He comes in. They reference the fact they both came into NXT together.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're friends. And so then we come back from commercial, and it's been turned into a tag match.
But at least commentary said that Kurt Angle approved it.
Oh, okay. All right, I missed that part.
During the commercial break, Kurt Angle signed off on
still,
it.
Still, two matches in a row that went from one thing to being another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little weird.
I think the Rollins-Joe-Jason Jordan thing was a little weirder because
a bit more egregious.
Angle had no part in it.
For sure.
And seemingly the ref was the one that just signed off on it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least this one, Kurt Angle gave it the okay. Hideo Itami picked up the win, pinning Curtis Axel after a GTS.
They went straight for the GTS. First time out, GTS. Wow. That was awesome. That was great.
Awesome.
I loved it. It's fantastic.
Great showing for Hideo Itami.
So he's going to be on 205 Live tonight.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, spoiler alert. I don't know if people want to hear this or not.
Where'd you get the spoiler alert from?
From, I think, PW Insider.
Oh, PW Insider.
About Rockstar Spud.
Oh, he's at SmackDown.
Yeah, being at SmackDown tonight.
Well, that's fine. That's not a big spoiler. I think they were saying that he was going to debut this week. They just haven't announced it on the show anything.
Yeah.
Kind of defeats my idea that maybe they're doing some video vignettes.
No, it seems like he's going to be there in person.
Yeah, so cool. Or maybe he's just going to go backstage and, you know, get the lay of the land.
Hardly possible. I heard that he was at Raw last night, too.
Oh, okay. Getting the lay of the land.
Yeah.
First day on the job jitters. I remember when I used to have first day on the job jitters.
Yeah, it's hard not to, you know.
I know, man. Everything's a
new
different
responsibilities,
landscape.
New environment.
Can
new
I do
people?
This?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to make a good impression, so you want to work hard, but you don't want to miss out also on like getting to know your coworkers.
And it's like 90% of your laughs are hella fake. You know? Oh, yeah, okay. You're like, because you're on edge. You're just.
You just dive right back into your computer.
Exactly. You're just like on edge the entire time, like soaking in your surroundings because you don't know anything yet.
I know.
Somebody comes up to you. Oh, so you're the new guy, huh? Yeah.
Hi, I'm.
Yeah.
Shake hands, introduce yourself.
Exactly.
They try to be social, and that's when you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you taking a break yet? I don't know if I can take a break. I don't know if they're going to fire me if I take a break. I hate it. Anyways, moving on.
Next. Cedric Alexander interview. Talking about how he's going to win the match.
Yeah.
If they gave him good scripts, he could knock it out of the park.
I'm telling you. Man, there's zero character behind him. Nothing. There's nothing.
But he can deliver scripted lines
I know.
He's got tons of charisma.
Dude,
his delivery is great. Just give him something to work with.
You know what they should have done for this thing? Instead of, wait, how did they do this? Oh, they did it with two Fatal 4-Ways. They should have, if you want to get him over, kind of do what they did with the Cruiserweight Classic.
Tournament.
Put him in a tournament, you know, and then have a great match. People want it. But I don't know, man. Anyways, then we got the actual match. Because his promo was so like, I remember thinking this exactly, thinking this sounds like it was written for a generic character in Universe Mode in 2K18. It was just a typical face. I'm going to go on and beat blah, blah, blah. Anyways, their match was fantastic.
Yeah.
Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander.
Drew
fantastic.
Was accompanied to the ring by Enzo. Enzo dropped a promo, and then Drew dropped a promo directly following.
Yeah.
Enzo went over and sat at the commentary table, provided commentary for the match.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Early on in the match, Gulak and Cedric do like this weird suplex thing, and they both take on a nasty spill over the rope to the outside.
Yeah.
And after
That was weird.
That was weird. I think Cedric suplexed Drew kind of backwards onto the apron, and then Drew suplexed Cedric
from the apron to the ground.
To the outside, and they both went to the outside.
Yeah.
So after that point, Cedric was really selling the lower back, and then Drew was putting all sorts of submission holds.
Right.
Working the lower back.
Right.
Towards the end, Enzo leaves the commentary table after checking his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say a word why. Just gets up and leaves. This provides a bit of a distraction. Drew is wondering where Enzo is going. Cedric takes advantage, ultimately hitting a lumbar check, which Drew sold well.
Yeah, he sold great.
Picking up the win.
And it was like a cool lumbar check because like Drew sold it in a way that like led to like Cedric. By the time he hit the ground, he was in a natural roll-up position.
Yeah.
For Cedric to do that. So that was cool. Yeah, Drew blood too. Like he ended up,
know. And then right after the match, I think it was Michael Cole or something, said the reason Enzo left is that Nia Jax posted something on Enzo's Twitter saying to check his DMs.
Yeah. Ooh. So anyways, I actually, you know, I heard some people on Twitter complaining about Enzo's commentary. I thought it was actually really well done.
Yeah, I thought you did a good
job too. And I'll be honest with you. So given this next bit where Enzo and Nia Jax were backstage doing their little like flirting thing, which was fine. It was what it was. I'm kind of interested to see where it's going to go because Nia Jax is occupying sort of two roles right now. She's doing this weird thing with Enzo where she's like, you know, all over him. And then she's doing the...
She went later on the show and decimated...
Yeah, she's the brawn of the women's division.
Two-thirds of Absolution.
So I'm really curious as to how or if, sometimes they don't, but if they're going to reconcile these two roles, because I think that could be kind of interesting if they do that.
Yeah.
I loved... And here... Okay, so here is my thing. With Enzo's commentary getting behind Gabagulak, and sometimes he calls him Gabagugu. It's absolutely hilarious. And there's like, you know, he says, well, he's not my friend. But number one, I think more. So like, remember months ago when Enzo was like kicked off the bus and stuff and it seemed like nobody liked him. And then we find out later that like Neville and Enzo, according to like the dirt sheets. OK, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
But Enzo and Neville were actually pretty decent friends. Like they were kind of on the same page as Neville didn't like where his career was going. Mm-hmm. I think a couple different dirt sheets reported that, that they're actually cool with each other. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling from Enzo's. From him and Drew Gulak's chemistry, I think they actually like each other.
They might.
Like it would not surprise me at all if they're actually kind of buddies.
Yeah.
And their chemistry is such that I'm actually kind of happy that they didn't go the route at this point with Drew turning on Enzo yet. Because I think there's a lot more miles you can get out of it. And I kind of like their relationship. I thought this next bit backstage where Nia and Enzo are kind of flirting, and then, of course, Gulak comes in and, you know,
like, apologizes endlessly for losing the match.
And is playing cock teaser, basically. Is that the word? No, cock blocker.
Yeah.
No, that was a completely different thing.
Yes, it is.
Cock blocker.
Also, now we're going to get demonetized because he said those words.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, we're not. So, anyways, he's playing cock blocker. He comes in and basically ruins Enzo's game, okay? And because Nia's like, I'll let you guys settle this out. Drew was cracking me up.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like Enzo didn't want to start laughing.
Yeah.
Because Drew was like, oh, God, Enzo. I don't know.
He's got tissue stuffed up.
I don't know why he was talking so loud, but it was hilarious.
Well, just because he got beat up.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was good.
Oh, I don't know what happened. I have to go look at the tapes. Oh, I was cracking up.
It was great.
And I kind of felt like Enzo was... I don't know. You can kind of tell when somebody wants to laugh.
Yeah.
But I think their chemistry is actually really, really
good.
No,
it is. I think Enzo's chemistry with Daivari is really good, too.
Yeah. And I kind of want to see this. I want to see more of this. I think it's really good. And I just don't know. I'm not sure exactly where this...
it's got to culminate in Gulak getting kicked out of the Zotrain, I feel like.
Yeah, I figure the same thing. But there does seem to be some amount of Enzo. And maybe they'll... Maybe it's simply because their chemistry is good and I'm reading too much into it. But I kind of feel like Enzo is warming a little bit to Drew Gulak. I hope that's kind of the case.
Yeah.
But it might not be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, after 205 Live last week, you know, that was, you know, horrifying what he was doing to Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
But anyways, I thought it was a really good segment. I thought this was really cool. I don't know. I don't see Cedric winning the title off of Enzo. It seems like it'd be an odd turn for them just to do that, unless it had something to do
with Drew
directly with Drew.
And I think if Cedric does win, it's going to be that way.
I think you're probably right about that.
It could be something as simple as Drew getting involved because he thinks he's going to help Enzo win and ultimately costing him the belt.
Right, right, right. So, anyways.
Anyways, next, Asuka versus Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox had one of the picture-in-picture promos.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she lost to Asuka with an armbar.
Yeah.
How come they're not doing the Asuka lock anymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cause I really liked her transition, the kind of
the sit down, thing.
Like the not quite a full Nelson bomb, but something similar, and transition straight to the Asuka lock with that. I wonder why they changed that up.
I don't know, man. Honestly, it makes me wonder if maybe Vince is back there and he just says, "I do have her do an armbar instead."
Could be.
That sounds like some weird nitpicky thing that Vince would do, you know? Mm-hmm. I would do that and it looks great. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey does that, it looks great. Anyways.
Next, we had the match made earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe and Thibar versus Rollins, Ambrose, and Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
The news coming out of this one is that they started establishing Dean Ambrose having an injured arm.
Yeah.
Based on a suicide dive that Rollins does, hitting Joe Cesaro, but also Dean. And actually set for the finish of the match. Dean's out there selling arm injury. The ref goes and checks on Dean, gets the trainer over. This is distracting Seth during which Sheamus hits a bro kick. Cesaro comes over, pins Seth, gets the win for Team Samoa Joe and Thibar.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Ambrose has been wearing an elbow pad for a number of weeks on his right arm, and then one week he wasn't wearing it, and looked like Val Kilmer's elbow in Heat, where it looked like fluid built up in his elbow.
Was it in every scene that his elbow was visible, or is there just like
what,
one
Val
shot? Yeah,
there's one shot.
Because I do not remember that.
Yeah, look it up. It's when he's at his house. He doesn't have a suit jacket on or a long sleeve shirt, and he's got fluid built up on his elbow.
That's gross. Why didn't somebody say something?
See, look.
Ew. What the flip?
I read about it. Apparently he broke his...
What the... Why would they put that in the movie?
Because right before he did that, he did the doors and broke his arm.
Yeah, but couldn't they have, like, filmed it? Hey, Val, turn that way.
Well, I mean, they're... I don't know. Maybe thought it made him look, like, more rugged or something.
It's weird.
It is weird. But anyway...
It looks like he has a set of balls on his elbow.
I noticed one week that Dean Ambrose's elbow looked like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's him as Batman.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Whoa.
So anyways, there's a Matt Hardy promo in between the two Dean segments.
Oh, I love this.
Where Matt Hardy was playing chess against Napoleon, but who is now a fish.
Yeah.
A goldfish.
That was great.
That was pretty good.
That was fantastic. And then he cut a promo on Bray Wyatt. So the setup was a little bit different. They had more luminescent, I guess. They had some like curtains behind
them. It was the same unironed or different unironed fabric.
Yeah.
But they had a light shining from behind it to make it look a little more like heavenly.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like that. I like the setup. I like this. It was cool. It was the next step towards getting the pre-film stuff. So it was good.
Yeah. Then backstage, we have Dean being attended to by a trainer. Seth is there too. Thebar and Joe attack them all. Well, not the trainer. Dean and Seth,
mm-hmm.
and then Joe like rams a equipment case into Dean's elbow.
Oh, that looked pretty brutal.
Yeah, and according to PW Insider, Dean is legitimately hurt. Not because of that spot. He was hurt before.
Yeah.
The TV injury is a work to cover for a shoot injury.
It feels like the, number one, I always hate when they do a bit where the dude is actually injured on that thing.
And they work that.
And they work that
they work
thing.
That limb, I know.
Yeah, exactly. That always bugs me. But it seemed like that case that they had, like, because Joe's thing, like, Dean's arm was sort of slumped, like, inside the crate or inside the box.
Case, yeah,
the case, yeah. And then Joe comes over and he slams the case, the open case, down on his arm, which looked nasty, but it didn't look like it closed all the way. I think there was something sitting up there that was keeping it from closing
maybe
all the way.
Maybe it was the rest of Dean's arm.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
So according to PW Insider, Ambrose was getting checked out by a noted orthopedist, Dr. James Andrews, later this week.
Yeah.
To see what the deal is with his injury. And I assume after his visit with Dr. James Andrews, we will learn whether he's going to miss any time due to this injury.
Yeah.
But like I said, I noticed he's been wearing an elbow pad on that elbow for a while. And that one time he had some fluid on it. So who
That'd
knows?
Be a bummer for Seth.
I know.
I mean, be a bummer for
Dean. This whole Shield reunion's been kind of rocky from the get-go.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
He had Reigns missing TLC because he had the mumps.
Yeah.
And then they had to postpone they had their reunion match on Raw a couple weeks after that.
Yeah.
And they had a match against the New Day at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, they really haven't been doing a whole lot together.
Yeah.
Except for wearing matching shirts.
Kind of, but even that, like Ambrose this week wasn't. Seth was wearing a Shield shirt. And Ambrose was wearing his shirt.
Well, actually, to open the show, Seth was wearing one of his shirts.
He was wearing his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he came out for match, he was wearing Shield shirt, but Ambrose was wearing Ambrose shirt.
Yeah.
All over the map.
Yeah.
Why aren't they just always with Roman? Like they had a six-man match.
Why aren't they always not with Roman? Always wearing. Well, Roman wasn't there. But I still feel like they're members of Shield, they should be in Shield gear, do Shield entrance.
They shouldn't be doing a six-man tag match if Roman isn't there in the first place.
They had to write Dean off TV, so he had to be involved in something.
I guess.
Next.
Should have had him be hit by a car.
There you go.
Those are my favorite segments.
The Revival are back.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
That made me very happy.
Yeah, it made me happy too. But then as soon as I see him, all I think is, oh my God, you're going to get injured
again. Yeah, no, please don't get hurt. They have a new shirt on WB Shop, but it's not Monday Night Revival. It's a decent shirt. It says Top Guys on it.
Yeah.
I might get it. Maybe. We'll see.
I'd hold out, man. I'd write them.
I didn't say I was gonna buy it immediately.
Write them a stern letter saying
I want Monday Night Revival t-shirt, please.
Maybe Revival has it in their big cartel shop.
I don't think they're allowed to have one.
You don't think so?
They took on Heath Slater and Rhino.
Gee, I wonder who's going to win that match.
Titus Worldwide was watching the match backstage.
It's just a bunch of C-level tag teams all... That was Raw's crappy tag team depth. I love the Revival, but man, they're great. They need to put together a string of not being injured.
Yeah, no. Wilder picks up the pin on Slater after Revival hits Shatter Machine.
Because, like, if they get injured again,
that's it.
That's kind of it, man.
Yeah, they're going to be on main event. That's what's going to be.
I know.
And that's a bummer because they're really good.
They're so good, man. But gee, Willikers. yeah, anyways, Shatter Machine. Heath Slater gets pinned. Then backstage, Slater and Rhino are just, you know, walking through. Kurt Angle says, you know,
it's New Year coming up. You guys need to toughen up if you want more opportunities.
Whoa. Slater looks soft these days, man. He needs to hang out with his old three-man. Like, doesn't he feel like a little, come on, man. Have some pride. You got Jinder Mahal, who looks amazing. Drew McIntyre is literally the mannest man ever.
Yeah.
And then you're the other guy in three-man band, and you look like you're, like, you know, two Twinkies away from Steve Herebody.
Heath Slater's always been relatively svelte. He's never been terribly muscular.
Well, Jinder wasn't either.
No, I understand.
You know, until he started, you know.
I'm just saying, how Heath Slater looks now isn't a deviation from any other point in his career.
Oh, no, that's totally true, but he needs to deviate.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, man, he needs to get in that gym. You know?
And that's what Rhino was saying. He said, we need a change of attitude. You need to toughen up, yeah. Heath Slater.
Slater's funny, though. He's a good comedy guy.
Well, he pulled out, I need this job.
I need this job. I got kids.
He pulled that out again.
And then he said, Rhino said, you need to toughen up. And then Slater said something. I remember
something like, I feel like this is going to hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is going to hurt. Anyways, I like Slater.
Next, our main event for the evening, Absolution, Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville took on Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Mickie James. Before the match started, yes. Elias came out, dropped the promo.
Dude, who would have thought 1 year ago, who would have thought that the first person to declare in dramatic fashion that they're going to be entering the 2018 Royal Rumble was going to be Elias in the main event segment of a Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. The great thing is he started listing off his credentials. I stood toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. I know, but I loved it because he was singing his own praises.
Yeah, and he was saying how he was he knew Tom Brady.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. He said he listens to my music during his pregame rituals, like deflating footballs.
Bending the rules.
Oh, it was fantastic.
And then he sang a song and dedicated it to his good friend, Roger Goodell.
That's right, yeah.
It was all good stuff.
And he's just on the verge of laughing the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
I love when they first go to him and the crowd's like just up in arms on him. And he's like, oh, he's so good at playing the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, he was interrupted. His music was interrupted by Sasha Banks. And then Mickie James interrupted him after he tries to start his song again. Yes. And then when that happens, he says, man, it's good to be me. All the women want to walk with Elias. Oh, my God. I was cracking up. That's great.
Yeah. He tries again. Bayley interrupts.
Yeah. Then he just leaves.
Well, he gets out and leaves, and Bayley meets him at the bottom of the ramp, tries to give him a hug.
Oh, I so wanted.
And he just sidesteps.
I so wanted that hug to happen. I knew it wasn't going to. I so wanted that hug to happen.
He sold the sidestep really well.
He really did. I know. Oh, it was great. I freaking love Elias,
yeah,
man.
He's great.
He's so good. Then Absolution
comes to the ring. Yeah. It wasn't much of a match because Absolution just got Sasha in the ring and they all attacked her. Ref calls for the bell. Nia Jax comes out.
Yep.
Destroys Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville with a massive Samoa drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She picked them both up. I love when she does that. It's great.
Rest of the women's division comes to the ring. Everybody's brawling.
Big brawl.
Huge brawl.
Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon's music hits and everybody stops fighting.
Mm-hmm.
She walks to the ring. Delivers a short speech leading up to an announcement that at Royal Rumble, we will get the first women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I think this is great.
It's fantastic.
I'm kind of over. Yeah, no, I love the fact that they're doing women's Rumble. It's fantastic. I'm kind of over them doing this in a way that is not storyline related. Stephanie comes out and she talks about making history and she talks about Sasha and Alexa going to, was it Abu Dhabi or Dubai? I don't know. And making history there. And I mean, I think that's fine and everything. And you're making the moment big and I get that, but there was such an opportunity to initiate this via the storylines that are already in play.
Yeah. You have a lot of people who are legitimate contenders for the title.
Okay, so a perfect example of this, a perfect example of the way this could have been done. can be found when the announcement for War Games was made. Mm-hmm. Chaos in the ring. Regal comes down and says the only match that can contain this is War Games, and people flipped out for it, yeah, right?
Including Adam Cole.
Big time. It was great.
War Games?
And so if there's some question, if this whole thing was set up over the past 3 weeks.
About number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship and do the same thing over on SmackDown.
Exactly.
Yep.
And there's just chaos, and every time they try to determine a number one contender, it just breaks down into a big brawl. Then Kurt Angle or even Stephanie can come out and say, you know, the only way we can decide this is via over the top rope elimination.
Yeah.
In a women's rumble, we're going to make history. But to come out there and, I mean, I get it, it's a feel good moment, but it just seems so forced when if you really want to do this the way the guys do it, then you do it through storylines.
Yeah, and that's how the Hell in the Cell match between Sasha and Charlotte.
Right, it was storyline.
It was all storyline driven. Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. And it made complete sense. Storyline-wise.
It felt a bit on the forced side, especially at the end. You mentioned this off camera when she says,
oh, yeah.
If anything deserves a yes chant, it's this. Yes! And then everybody starts doing the yes thing. And it's like, dude, it would be much more organic if they just did it via storyline, because the storylines are, it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's all there.
Paige is in. She's dominant. Asuka is dominant. Nia Jax is dominant.
Yeah.
You have three great contenders right there.
Not to mention Sasha Banks, former champion.
Right, exactly.
Bayley, former champion.
Right.
And that's just on Raw and SmackDown.
Alicia Fox, captain.
Yeah, just in SmackDown. You have Charlotte as champ. You have Becky Lynch, who should be coming back in the near future. Naomi, both former champions.
Yeah.
Natalya, former champion.
Yeah.
Carmella, who has that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing over on SmackDown, mm-hmm. especially with the Riot Squad coming in.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like there was a lot of chaos and a lot of brawling, but it wasn't motivated by the championship. Mm-hmm. Like Alexa Bliss has hardly been on TV the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's great. I love it. I think
I'm really excited for the match.
But I don't know. I felt it could have been done in a storyline fashion. Let's open up some mail before we answer some questions.
Good idea.
From one of our good friendos, Ty Perez.
Cool.
Send us something via priority mail.
Ooh.
This is a priority opening.
Priority. We should open it immediately.
I am opening it with much urgency right now. You guys can send us stuff as well at P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California 95662. It's in the description. Ooh, it looks like a pro wrestling crate. Some like autograph
stuff. Autograph stuff.
Oh, man.
Oh, cool.
You love this guy.
Oh, Raven's awesome.
What is... Oh, look at that. We got a signed Virgil $1 million bill. This is all stuff we're going to put up on our office set.
Yeah, our new set.
When we get our office. What about me?
Come on, Raven.
What about Raven? What about, oh, look at that. My man from Impact, Grado.
Oh, you're going to like the next one, Steve.
Huge on the, oh, look at that. Rosemary, again, from Impact. I got to start watching Impact. I watched it last week. Look at that. The Blue World Order. Oh, that's gross. But that's a great picture.
Yeah, it is.
Boogeyman. He looks like the dude. Oh, look, Kamala, looking like $1 million. Look at that. Good to see he pulled out of his dire straits. Oh, no. Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
That one looks familiar.
Oh, look at this guy.
We have that right there.
Oh, look. We got a second Papa Shango. Nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ty. Very nice of you. All right, Larson, let's hop into questions. Why don't you read the first one, and I'm going to look up a pay-per-view for our play-per-view today.
All right, I got to refresh because we posted this thread a little late. Here we go. Nemo, do you think the Women's Rumble will be over the top? Like it should be, or out any rope like battle royals have been before. Hopefully it's over the top rope. Because in previous battle royals, women's battle royals, it's just out of the ring. They've done over the top rope, I believe, though, in previous women's rumbles.
Yeah, no, Karen made a good point in the comments there. NXT had one. It was great.
And it was over the top rope.
I'm totally fine with over the top rope. I mean, I kind of see the point. Like, Nikki Cross's like chin comes, like, when she does the top rope, it's at like chest high, basically. But they've, like she said, they've done an NXT. Yeah. It's great.
Wayne Dorsey, power rank.
Power rank.
Reasons why Finn has been smiling so much lately. At first, when we saw him smile a lot, we speculated that he had been given his match against Brock Lesnar. That's not happening. So I think number one right now has to be he's just really tickled about all the is Finn over conversations.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a new merch shirt that says Balor Club Forever, but the letters O-V-E-R are highlighted in red.
Right, yeah. I guess we can speculate on, like, how that all, like... Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling. So remember during the Edge and Christian show, the first episode, when Vince said to Christian, "Don't you read the internet? I don't like you."
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the same kind of thing with Finn Balor.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's not... Maybe it's not necessarily that Vince doesn't think he's over, and that's why they're so willing to kind of play with it.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe it's a matter of him wanting to protect... I mean, if Finn's going to fight Brock, it's going to be as the Demon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if they want to protect the Demon because he's a good merch seller.
It makes sense not to have the match then.
I mean, I think it's silly, but I think, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. The cat, Daryl Takahashi.
Takahashi.
Power rank, other board games Woken Matt Hardy would be good at. What was that one?
Oh, Stratego. What was that I feel one like Stratego.
Played in Pi.
Oh, Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
Go, yeah.
That's supposed to be like a really old game, right?
Yeah.
Stratego's a good answer. Yeah.
But I feel like because he always talks about the battlefield, Risk.
Yeah, Risk that's as well. Risk.
Yeah.
Connect Four. It's a lot of strategy involved in Connect Four.
I love Connect Four.
Yeah, we've never played Connect Four. I used to be pretty good at it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I think, wasn't Roland like really good at it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
CM Punk finds it insulting. A lot of Power Rank questions. Power Rank wrestlers from anywhere in the world that should own a team in Vince's new football league, and what would they name their teams?
Oh, the Elite.
Wrestlers.
Man. The Elite. Give me the Elite.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd
great.
Be called the Elite.
The Ontario Elite.
They'd be called the Ontario being the Elite.
There you go.
Yeah.
John Cena would be the Boston Sea Nations.
There you go. What about, can there be a team owned
by... Or Tampa. He lives in Tampa, I guess. Now.
L.I.J., but I'm trying to think of a good pun for Los Ingobernables. Los in football nobles. I don't know.
What would be a Los Ingobernables de football?
De football. There you go.
What about CM Punk? Be in Chicago.
Yeah. What do they call Chicago? Second City?
Or the Chicago Pipe Bombs.
There you go. So you're on a roll. Keep at it. Oh, nice. I've got a card with 8 on it.
What about Stone Cold? He lives in, currently living on 316 Gimmick Street.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Be the Los Angeles Gimmicks.
there you go. The rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
The rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Dom the Man Hilberg. Hey, friendos. So according to my math, excluding champions, there are 17 active main roster women to compete for the Women's Rumble. Pick 2 legends and 1 NXT surprise call-up to round out the ranks. And assuming that the NXT call-up is there to stay... Which roster should they join?
How many NXT columns do we get?
It says one, but I think there should be 2.
Yeah, it should be the Iconic Duo.
Yes. And they go to SmackDown.
Two legends.
Trish,
okay.
I would say Lita, but I don't... Yeah, she wrestled. She's wrestled recently, though.
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Trish and Lita.
Remember, we can go, like, outside the box a little bit? Yeah, no, I'm fine with them.
Michelle McCool said that she wanted to...
Oh, about Serena Deeb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right. Let's see here.
Adam Mayhem, Power Rank, best crossover tag teams from 205 Live and Raw rosters. We saw Hideo Itami and Finn Balor tag team last night on Raw.
Mm-hmm. You want, wait, what is the question? You want
205 Live and Raw crossover tag teams, one member from each roster.
Who would Drew Gulak team with?
Samoa Joe.
That was pretty funny. I kind of like that. Cedric Alexander.
Seth Rollins.
And, ooh, that's a good tag team right there. Oh, great, great, great.
Mustafa Ali and?
Mustafa Ali and?
Roman Reigns.
Sure, why not?
Noam Dar.
And? I mean, Sheamus.
Okay.
He's from the general area. Karen, with Hideo rescuing and teaming with Finn, much like how Finn did when they were in NXT together, Do you think there could be the possibility that Hideo does dual duty with 205 Live and Raw as part of the main roster, mixing up with the main roster people?
I think that would be great.
Or is he about to get tasked with and locked into, trapped, if you will, stuck in the prison known as 205 Live?
I fear that's the most likely scenario.
That's probably the most likely scenario. I don't know how to make 205 Live feel important.
I mean, I thought it was great that they had Hideo show up to make the save on Finn and have him tag. That was great.
That was great. I know.
That's the kind of stuff I've been talking about for months. Do that kind of stuff more often.
Swap him out. Let's say Hideo wasn't making his debut. Have Cedric Alexander come in and save Finn.
Mm-hmm.
But then where does that leave 205 Live? Like, when Cedric Alexander goes back to 205 Live, where does that leave that? Like, I don't know. There needs to be some sort of consistency, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, people can do that.
Well, I think it has to kind of go both ways. I mean, we're seeing, you know, that Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are going to join the 205 Live tour.
Which is really weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying that they should show up and have matches on 205 Live.
I mean,
how about this? Sorry. What if Bray restarts the Wyatt family, and along with a couple of hosses, a la Eric Rowan, he also brings in maybe a cruiserweight?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, say, I'm just throwing his name out there, he has a beard, Tony Nese.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Joins the Wyatt family.
Because it would be not unlike Nikki Cross right now with Sanity.
Yeah.
Like, she's in the women's division, but then she also hangs out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You just have to find kind of interesting ways to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. It's good. All right, let's see here.
And maybe Bray doesn't necessarily show up on 205 Live often, but other members of the Wyatt family can.
You see, you see that video of Goldust trying to, like, cozy up to Asuka? And you just freaked her out, and then Asuka, like, yelled back at him?
Oh, no.
Is Goldust slated to be in the Mixed Match? Oh, he is. So it's going to be those two. Oh, man. He's there to eat the pin.
Oh, yes. Mark of Steel, I believe Hideo's debut was a success. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
The question is his debut a sign of things to come? More cruiserweights crossing over with the heavyweights? Don't think so, but I'd like that to happen. I'd really like for that to happen. Braun, is it a guarantee that we will get an Absolution versus Riot Squad moment in the Women's Rumble? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to go over kind of like a wet fart, though, because, like, the Riot Squad hasn't really been established as, like, the cohesive unit.
I know.
We literally saw Liv Morgan hit Sarah Logan in the back of the head. Although I like that they addressed it on Twitter. That was cute. Corey Smith. So I was thinking about this Finn not being over thing. The more I think about it, the more it seems like a way to get Finn over to Daniel Bryan levels. Build up Braun, Vince's guy. Start up the talks about Finn not being over to gain more fan support. And then wham, Finn beats Braun at Mania. What do you think? I think Finn has the potential, perhaps, in some way, to be as over as the Daniel Bryan thing, just in a different avenue going there. I love the idea of him being beating Braun. But here's the thing about Finn is that you don't want to play him up too much as an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Because the demon is supposed to be a larger-than-life guy. You don't want the demon to be like...
Man Balor could be kind of an underdog, kind of.
Kind of, but like, underdogs aren't usually like the cool guy. Like, when you've got supreme confidence, it's like, I'm not an underdog. I can beat anybody up.
Well, I mean, you can kind of be, physically speaking, an underdog.
I'll put it this way.
Carry that level of confidence, but
I would never,
you know, you're not outmatched regardless who you're wrestling.
I would never want to describe Finn. I would never want to use the adjective plucky for Finn.
Oh, I agree.
Daniel Bryan was all plucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Finn, you don't really want that. He's too cool to be plucky.
Yeah. He is cool.
He's way cool.
Leonidas Maximus Titanicus. Wouldn't Sasha be a better WrestleMania headlining match opponent for Asuka rather than Charlotte? In most of the best women's matches in the past 3 years, there's one common superstar in every match, Sasha Banks.
Yeah, but Charlotte has kind of established herself as, I mean, I think her title reigns have been more and longer. She kind of came out on top in that whole Sasha Charlotte feud.
Oh, she definitely did, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd give the edge to her.
And I think, I think you're right.
She's the figurehead of the women's division. I know Sasha, it's arguable. Sasha comes out and she gets a massive, massive pop. So she could be more over. I wouldn't want to take that bet. But or I wouldn't want to bet against that rather. But it's Charlotte. Charlotte's like the she's the like the figurehead of the mm-hmm. women's division. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, anyway.
No, I think as much as I like Sasha and appreciate her work, I can't disagree with that. Couple more.
Nate Morris, did Steph and all the women breaking kayfabe essentially kind of ruin the announcement of the Rumble? Everybody kind of just fell into line immediately when Steph got in there. And we saw earlier in the night Kurt Angle literally bolt from the ring
yeah.
because the men are going to destroy each other. And yet Steph shows up and everybody falls into line. Kind of.
It would have bothered me more if, like, Absolution was starting to give high fives to Alexa Bliss or Sasha.
Right, no, and that exactly.
That didn't happen, though, thankfully.
Yeah. No, it seemed like it could have.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, they were giving the vibe that, oh, yeah, we're all, you know, we're all cool now. We're all doing this.
Yeah.
No, man, let them just slug it out storyline-wise.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun, 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 dun. One more question, and then we'll do our thing.
Yes. Here we go. Broken Steve, power rank the five women you think should win the Women's Rumble. One, Asuka.
Number one is Asuka. Number one's got to be Asuka.
If they don't have her win it, then they're really messing things up.
Number two, I guess, is Paige.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you, though. I think they don't have Asuka win it, they're messing
they
things up.
They need to have Paige take the belt off Alexa Bliss.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say they want to go with Paige. Who can they pair with Asuka to do the thing where they eliminate each other because they're just fighting and fighting and fighting?
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey's not going to be in the Rumble. Give me another name.
Nia Jax.
Yeah, Nia Jax.
I think three is going to be Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Set up Becky versus Charlotte.
Becky's so good.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, that's a good point. Becky versus Charlotte would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a foregone conclusion that it's Asuka?
No. I don't think it is.
I kind of feel like it is.
I think that it should be that case, but I don't feel like it is.
I hope they don't do the thing. See, it needs to be Asuka, but I think that everybody thinks that, so they're going to swerve us and have it be like, I don't know, James Ellsworth.
I think it should be.
It's going to be James Ellsworth.
Oh, gosh. Asuka, Paige, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, and who's five? Sasha?
Yeah, Sasha. I could see Sasha standing tall at the end. Had a dream. I won the Rumble.
So you found a card with eight matches.
Yeah, I did.
All right. What
I
is
think.
It?
Hold on. I'm going to see if this one's better.
This is the play preview where we quiz each other on the results.
Okay. So yeah, we had questions. People don't know exactly what play preview is. What is play preview, Lars?
It's we find old pay per views. We look at the card and we quiz each other on the card, whether you know who won the match or not.
Oh, this is a good one, but I need you to bring yours down to seven. So kill your first match.
That's fine.
All right, I've got WCW Starrcade 1994.
Oh, the year before the last one you did.
Yes.
Okay. I have No Mercy 2008.
Oh, God dang it. You and your stupid ruthless modern era.
You did
PG
a good job
era.
Last time, though, so don't complain.
All right. Who
one,
goes
two,
first?
One, two, three, four. Five, six, seven. Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
In a singles match.
Did we do back and forth?
Yeah, yeah.
Matches?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a singles match for the ECW Championship, Matt Hardy versus Mark Henry.
Matt Hardy won.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think Mark Henry's ever ECW champion. In a singles match for the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the challenger, Vader with Harley Race, who won?
What belt was it for?
United States Championship.
I have to go with Vader.
Very good. Vader won.
In a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship, Candice Michelle versus Beth Phoenix.
Who came in as champion?
Beth Phoenix.
Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. In a singles match, Jean-Paul Levesque versus Alex Wright. Who won?
Oof. Alex Wright.
Very good. Listen, you guys don't know about India. Alex Wright is up there with Undertaker and Cena.
A singles match, a mask match.
Oh.
Kane versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh, wow. I feel like Rey Mysterio only would have won if something big was on the line, so I'm going to say Kane.
Rey Mysterio won. By disqualification.
Oh, was it a mask versus mask thing?
I guess so.
Oh, he won by DQ, but we don't know. Okay, all right. So Kane stood tall.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. This is for the WCW World Television Championship.
Okay.
The champion, Johnny B. Badd, versus challenger, Double A Arn Anderson, who won?
Johnny B. Badd.
Very good. That guy had like the longest win streak,
yeah,
I think.
I know. In a singles match, determined the new number one contender of the World Heavyweight Championship, JBL versus Batista.
This is 2008?
Yeah.
God, Batista's still around 2008. When did Batista retire? I'm going to say Batista.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why he waited so long in that one.
I don't know either.
It's fairly obvious. In a tag team match, Harlem Heat versus the Nasty Boys, who won?
Harlem Heat.
The Nasty Boys, but it was by DQ, so chances are Harlem Heat stood tall.
Next, in a singles match, The Undertaker.
Okay.
Versus.
Okay.
Well.
Just a regular singles match?
Yeah.
Oh, God, a big old who cares match. In that case, I'll give it to The Undertaker.
Wrong.
Whoa. Okay. In a singles match.
What?
Kevin Sullivan versus Mr. T.
Mr. T?
Yeah, Mr. T had to win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In a singles match for the WWE Championship, the challenger, Jeff Hardy, versus the champion, Triple H.
So I know Jeff Hardy won it at some point. I'll say Jeff Hardy won.
Triple H.
Oh, damn it. Okay, so he didn't win it there.
Nope.
In a singles match, Avalanche versus Sting.
Sting.
Yeah, he won it by DQ, though. I wonder why.
That's weird. Main event, a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship saw the champion, Chris Jericho, versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh, you know what sucks? I totally read Chris Jericho's book about this feud. I'll say Chris Jericho won.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I have four. And then you got one chance to make this two-point lead.
Yeah.
Singles match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Hulk Hogan. Challenger, The Butcher.
Oh, Hulk Hogan won that one.
Are you telling me The Butcher was never world champion?
No.
Dang it. Dang it. I lost by two. Yeah. Well done. Good job.
I'm awesome.
You know your Starrcade 1994.
I do.
Very good. All right. Anyways, that's it for the show. Hilton, can we get some out music, please? Should be some out music now. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.